Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 4. My wife and I were talking yesterday about Genesis 4, and she had some really great thoughts. And those became the seed thoughts for this message. In verse 1, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, in other words, Adam and Eve had a kid, and his name was Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. In other words, he was a shepherd. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, so Cain was a farmer. So you had a shepherd and a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He had a long face. He moped. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen, or in modern language, why the long face? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? This is a loaded passage. And one of the things about these early people, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Seth, different ones who were early on in human history, is there's a great deal about humanity that we learn from them. That's one of the reasons why they're put into the Bible. There's a great deal about our lives we can learn from their lives. Now, there's a lot that happened here, and a lot of times people will say to themselves, why did God do that? How is Cain even to know? Like, who would think, okay, I'm a farmer and I give him some of my produce. He's a shepherd and he gives him a sheep. Why have the distinction? Why respect the one but not the other? How is Cain to know that the work of his hands is not the same as the work of Abel's hands? The problem with that thinking is it wasn't about the work of their hands. It's not what they did. Sometimes we think, oh, Cain was wicked because he didn't understand what the real sacrifice was, and how was he to know it? Well, the number one thing about it is God taught them every day. In Genesis chapter 3, God taught Adam and Eve in the garden every day. That didn't stop. After the fall, God was still looking for them to teach them in the cool of the day. In other words, in the evening, they would always have a Bible study with God. That never stopped. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that that stopped. And at this point also, Adam and Eve taught their children. So they had two sets of teaching. They had the teaching from God Himself, and they had the teaching that came from Adam and Eve. Now, this is how we know that. When Abel killed the sheep, it said that he gave them the fat. And that's really important. He brought the firstborn of the flock, which is exactly how it was supposed to be, and he gave their fat. That's exactly the way that the priests did it in the Old Testament thousands of years after Cain and Abel. They understood the principles that were involved in the offering, and they understood what the blood offering meant. they understood that this was all a picture of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made and the blood that he spilled and the death that he experienced. This was taught to them. This was not something that was unknown. This was very well understood. Seth, the next son that Adam and Eve had, became a preacher. He was even trained by God to be a pastor. This is how thorough the teaching was that they were receiving. It's not like they didn't know. They knew very well what was going on. So anyway, Cain brings this offering, and it's the fruit of the ground. The problem with this is it didn't say it's the fruit of his hands, that it's the fruit of his labor. It's the fruit of the ground. If it was simply a fruit of his hands, Abel and Cain would have brought the same thing. Because the job that Cain had was to be a farmer, and the job that Abel had was to be a shepherd, and Abel tended the sheep, Cain tended the crops, and essentially both were bringing the fruit of their labor. But it doesn't say the fruit of the labor, it says the fruit of the ground. In Genesis 3:17, the ground was cursed. And so what he's saying is, it's the fruit within the curse. He was operating in the curse. He was not operating in grace, he was not operating in mercy, he was not operating in the finished work of Christ. He was not operating in the things that God taught him. He was operating in his own self-centered opinions. And that's the result of operating in the curse. You come with a self-centered opinion to God. Today, people do it all the time. People say, well, if God was righteous, then why would he allow evil in the world, right? Really good question. But when people try to use that as an excuse to not come to God, to not get saved, to have something against God, then it's self-centered. If you want to simply know why evil exists, fine, that's a good question. Why does evil exist? And there is an explanation the Bible gives us. But if you're wanting to attack God because there is evil in the world, you know what amazes me that people do? And this is an example of what Cain did. People will do something that God said, don't do it, and then they blame God for the results. Isn't that stupid? God says, don't whatever. Don't do whatever. People go out and do it. It doesn't go well. God, it's your fault. How's that God's fault? God told you not to do it. People say, well, God, why did you let these bad things happen to me? And God says, because you didn't listen to what I tell you. And so now you get to enjoy the consequence. No, it's your fault, God. I did what you didn't say. That's your fault. Isn't that stupid? People do it all the time. Why? Self-centered opinion. Cain had a self-centered opinion. And I'm not trying to knock Cain per se with that. It's just the way it was. Cain had a self-centered opinion. And so he brought him something that came out of the curse. He didn't bring him something that came out of the finished work of Christ. Abel, understanding, having been taught just like Cain, as a matter of fact, Cain was much older than Abel. Cain was taught a lot longer than Abel was. But Abel, understanding what God had taught him, brought him a blood sacrifice. And he brought it to him in exactly the same fashion that the priests, thousands of years later, did according to the laws of Moses. So they understood. They both understood. And then it continues after that, he brought him the firstborn of the flock, and the Lord respected Abel's offering, of course, because God will always respect that which is of the finished work. He didn't have any respect toward Cain or his offering because that came out of the curse. Of course he didn't have any respect for that. And then it says, Cain was angry. There's a problem. Cain was angry. And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your confidence fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? God is being very kind to Cain here. God is saying, Cain, you didn't get it right. But why are you angry? Just let me teach you. Cain, I showed you that what you did was a mistake. Why are you angry? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I gave you the word of God, and now I'm giving it to you again, so you can operate in faith, so you can get it right. Why are you angry? God was teaching him. He saw the problem, he started to teach him. Now, when God started to teach him, he was trying to bring him into faith. Because in Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed by faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. So God's trying to bring Cain into a good place here. He was angry that he got his offering, his work, his self-centeredness rejected, but God's not angry with Cain. Cain is angry with God. God is being very kind here. And God says, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Cain, all is not lost for you. Cain, just correct your mistake and you're going to be fine. Well, when we make a mistake, what do? With it? We practice 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins to God. By the way, no one else but God, only to God, nobody else. And then he cleanses us from our unrighteousness. Then he forgives our sin. Then he restores us into fellowship. Then he completely removes the effects of those sins. All we have to do is say, God, I've sinned. And that's the end of the story. That's the end of the sin. And so Cain had a really great opportunity. He said, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin will lie at your door. In other words, I'm trying to correct you. I'm giving you the word of God. If you don't receive what I'm telling you, sin lies at your door. Why? Because in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So far, Cain, you have not operated in faith. So let me teach you according to Romans 10:17, so you might have faith. But if you reject what I'm teaching you, then you'll operate outside of faith and sin lies at your door. That is a bad mistake and its desire is for you. Whenever I reject the word of God, whenever I reject God's correction, God doesn't correct because he's angry. God corrects because he loves me and he wants me to get it right. And so when I accept the correction of God, it's not because he's trying to beat me up, it's because he's trying to help me. It's like taking somebody who's trying to build a house, but they're building it wrong. Maybe they're putting the frame together incorrectly in a way that won't hold. And somebody who's a master at what they're doing comes and says, no, let me show you how this is done. Let me show you how to put this together so your house can be wonderful rather than fall down. That's essentially the kind of thing that God was saying to him. However, our self-centered nature isn't going to go along with what God says because self-centeredness is a form of pride. And if I maintain my self-centered nature, I'm maintaining my pride, and I'll be too proud to listen to God, and that brings me into sin. But God will try to correct me every time. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God came after them. When David killed Uriah the Hittite, one of his best soldiers, because David made an extremely stupid mistake, God came to him via the prophet Nathan and he tried to correct him. And in David's case, he did correct him. In David's case, he did humble himself. In David's case, he did understand, realize, accept the fact that he made a mistake. And then he was completely righteous before God again. We do the same thing. We make a mistake, God corrects us, we accept His correction. And then we're completely right with God again. It's not about the mistake, it's about the correction. It's not the fact that you made a mistake, it's what do you do when God corrects you. No human is going to be without mistakes over and over and over and over. The mistake isn't the issue. The issue is when God corrects you, what do? And if you submit to the correction, you will do well. The correction will bring you back into faith and you will do well. You always want to do well. You're in a position where you're constantly learning how to do well. And if you do well, that's really good for you with God. If you don't do well, that's going to have some bad consequences. But doing well is not the same as doing good. What we think is good may not be good at all in God's eyes. Doing well means that I'm yielding to God. I'm submitting to His instruction. I'm operating in faith. I'm responding to Him in faith. Righteousness comes from one faith response to another faith response. And this is how we live by faith. Now, sometimes people want to do good. And they want that to be their righteousness. This was part of Cain's problems. He was like, what's wrong with the fruit of what I gave you? These are great crops. What's wrong with it is not that they're bad crops. It's just not how things work. You can't change reality, Cain. Reality is that the blood of Christ is what's acceptable to God on your behalf. Doing good, unless it's something that God has led you into, is relatively meaningless. It's just living at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Both sides are Satan's tree. It's relatively meaningless. And so we don't worry about doing good. We worry about doing well. We want faith responses. We want to yield to God's instruction. We want to apply, that is, do what God says. That's doing well. Now, if it's by grace, in Romans 11:6, it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it's by works, it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What Cain did was accept the finished work, sacrifice, and he entered into grace. But because Cain tried to do something for God, Cain said, look how wonderful these crops out of this curse are. God couldn't accept it. There was no grace for that. There was no entry into grace outside of faith in Romans 5:2. And so, God couldn't accept it. Because my stand before God is only by grace, and so is yours. The only way that I can be righteous before God is through faith in the blood of Christ. And that's the only way anyone can be righteous before God. The only way I can do well is to operate in faith, and that starts with a faith response to the blood of Christ, and it continues from there. It's not about how I can produce. It's about what Christ has done. Now, God has saved us, and He's called us with a holy calling, not according to works, this is 2 Timothy 1:9, but according to His own purpose and grace. The mistake Cain made, and this is a mistake that a lot of people make, is by going to works, we actually deny the calling of God, deny the salvation of God, deny the purpose of God in our lives. So people say, I don't understand why works isn't good enough, because works is not an issue. It's like saying to them, I want to get into the movie theater, and so I'm going to do 3 cartwheels and a handstand, and now you should allow me into the movie theater. And the guy taking the ticket says, but where's your ticket? I did 3 cartwheels and a handstand. What do you mean, where's my ticket? You need a ticket to get into the movie theater. All your cartwheels and your handstands are not going to get you into the movie theater. It doesn't work that way. It's only grace that can get you in. It's only the blood that can cleanse your sins. It's only the mercy of God whereby we can have anything with God. Nothing else works. We want to do well. And so in Galatians 6:9, we don't become weary in well-doing. We don't become weary in our faith. We're trusting God for something. We don't get tired of trusting Him. Maybe something is taking a long time. Maybe an answer we're looking for is taking a long time. We don't get tired there. We just keep trusting. We keep praying. Because in due season, when the time is right, we'll reap if we don't faint. When the time is right, we get an answer if we don't quit. Remember, the only way to lose with God is to quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Cain wasn't willing to do that. And it continues there in Genesis 4. Now Cain talked with his brother Abel. That's not a good translation. The real translation, it's found in the Septuagint, which is the Greek original translation of the Old Testament. Cain said unto his brother Abel, let's go up into the field. That's what it should read. It's not Cain talked to Abel. No, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go up to the field. Now, this was not just any field. This was the field where he shepherded the sheep. So Cain said to him, let's go to the field where you shepherd your sheep. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and killed his brother. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain, when he went to the field where Abel shepherded the sheep, again, this is not found in the translation. This is actually found in the original language. Cain killed him in the same manner that Abel killed the sheep. Cain was making a statement against God. Cain said, oh, you want a blood sacrifice, do you? I'll give you a blood sacrifice. And he killed his brother. That's why he said, about the keeper of the sheep, am I his keeper? It's no accident that it's using those words. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Am I Abel's keeper? Am I Abel's shepherd? Well, he killed Abel the same way that Abel killed the sheep. Because he was angry with God. There was a lot of intent there. There was a lot of purpose there. You see, this is what eventually happens to those people who refuse the word of God. If I refuse to be corrected by God, then I'm going to harden my heart toward God. But if I harden my heart toward Him, that doesn't mean He stops trying. He's going to keep coming and He's going to keep coming and He's going to bring process after process. And eventually I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to become violently angry with God. And it could happen, it doesn't always have to happen, it happened to Cain. I might end up killing just to spite God. But that is what Cain did. Rejecting God's instruction is not only not doing well, it's going to get you into a place that will become extremely destructive in your own life. I've seen people attack Christians strictly because they refuse to be right with God themselves. But the more that they refuse, the harder the heart And then eventually, because of the conscience, they have to get to the point where they remove the source of what's plaguing their conscience. Well, they can't attack God, so they attack the person. Every fruitful Christian, everybody who's right with God will experience this on occasion, not all the time, thank God, but on occasion. But on occasion, you will experience this with other people. The fact that you're right with God is going to convict them that they're not. And if they're not going to be humble, they might get angry with you. They might react at you. They might attack you. That's not a reflection on you. That's a reflection on them. What Cain did to Abel did not reflect on Abel. It reflected on Cain. The next part of what God said to Cain was, what have you done? Abel's blood cries from the ground. See, that's the power of a blood sacrifice. The blood speaks to God. You made a blood sacrifice in the way that was evil, where Cain made a blood sacrifice in a way that was right. And you try to mimic it out of anger and spite because you would not get right with God. If I don't get right with God, sin waits at my door. That's exactly what happened. Cain would not get right with God, and something very wicked was at his door. And he walked right through it because he was angry with God. I either obey God, I will either respect God, I will either yield to him, have faith responses, or I'll become very angry with him. And if I become very angry with him, I'll become very angry with his people. That's where that comes from. That's not doing well. We want to do well. And that means when God teaches me something, I accept it. Sometimes on occasion, all pastors hear this, they'll preach conviction. And people will say, I'm not sure about that. And the answer to that is, the only reason why you're not sure is because you don't believe the Word of God. Because if you believe the Word of God, you'd be sure. Uncertainty is always born in unbelief. Now, I'm not saying these are people who don't understand what the Word of God says. I'm saying the Word of God says that, but I'm not sure about it. Okay, Cain. That's fine, but it's not doing well. Yield to the Word of God, live in faith responses. It's the only way we can do it as Christians. That's the only way we can do it as humans. Yield to the Word of God and live in faith responses. A faith response means I do what God says. Simple. That's what benefits me. I don't say to myself, well, what about? That's a tree of knowledge of good and evil proposition. If I don't understand, don't worry about the fact that I don't understand. Know that God knows what He's doing and know that He loves you. And then you don't necessarily have to understand to do well. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.